the Progressive Radio Network.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
yeah, we did. We started to burn too many things we found. That's the Gloria Starr Williams with Pete Seeger and David Byrne singing the Solartopia song off the Grammy-winning Tomorrow's Children album from Appleseed Records. Always a joy to hear those guys singing. And it's also a joy and an honor to have our guest today, Carl Grossman, been with us before, has just published a great piece at Huffington Post, which I'm about to follow, on the recent, astonishing, almost indescribable stab in the back that we've gotten from Governor Andrew Cuomo in the state of New York, bailing out, insanely bailing out upstate nuclear reactors after all these years of him allegedly fighting Indian Point. And we're going to segue from that into more talk about Donald Trump, who the Republicans are trying to get rid of now. Boy, what a saga that would be. But we'll go to that first. Carl, are you with us here?
I sure am, Harvey, and it's a pleasure.
All right. It's always great to have you on, Carl. You are terrific. Your new piece is terrific. Tell us about what you've written about and what's happened here in New York.
Yeah, what just happened, August 1st, the New York State Public Service Commission approved what it called the Clean Energy Standard, which was advanced by Governor Andrew Cuomo. And the good news is that under it, 50% of electricity used in the state by 2030 would come from clean and renewable energy sources. The very bad news is that nuclear energy would be included as clean and renewable, and then this plan sets up a subsidy program through which the ratepayers in New York would end up paying for four nuclear plants, which are just decrepit, old. The companies that own them are looking to shut them down, but Andrew Cuomo has been pushing for their continued operation. He claims that for jobs, that there's 2,000 jobs involved, and that's why they should keep running. But indeed, it's a stab in the back, just what you said, to true, clean, green, renewable energy in New York State.
Yeah, I mean, it's beyond insane. It's absolutely insane. I mean, I can barely speak about this one. I mean, there are things that come up from time to time that you've just got to contain yourself. I know we're allowed to curse on this station, but I try not to because they run it in other venues. So, Carl, tell us real quickly who you are before we proceed. You've given us the opener.
Yeah, well, Carl Grossman is my name. Listeners might want to check out my website, www.carlgrossman, one word, call with a K, .com. I'm a professor of journalism, have been now for near 40 years at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury. And for that time as well, I specialize in investigative reporting. I teach it at SUNY Old Westbury. But I also do it, and I've done it, I've done it for almost 50 years. And my special focus through the years has been, I mean, it's sort of like you look for the worst situations. It's like triage in investigative reporting to expose and to deal with. And nuclear power is the top. It's always been on the top of my list. So I've written a number of books on nuclear power. I've done bunches of television programs. I'm the host of a nationally syndicated TV show called Enviro Close Up. In recent years, thank heavens, the internet came along. Quite a surprise. You don't have to go through the filter of mainstream media. I write a lot for Counterpunch, Huffington Post, Nation of Change, and Formable, Common Dreams, and so forth.
Well, good for you, Carl. You are one of the most influential and important reporters in the history of this industry. And
thank you.
Completely irreplaceable. And your piece on this latest sickness here from the governor of New York is absolutely essential reading. So, folks, if you want to know what's just happened, see Carl's piece at Common Dreams or Huffington Post or probably Counterpunch will pick it up. And I forgot my own website. I posted the link at www.nukefree.org. And I have to say that having done this since 1973, along with you, this is actually one of the most significant moments in the history of nuclear power. This is the last gasp of the industry. You've had these clowns running around saying nuclear power is clean and green. I mean, you gotta have a really iron-cast stomach to say something so utterly stupid and completely false. And the governor of New York, whose father helped us shut Shoreham, and I want you to talk about that, has made this giant song and dance for years about attempting to shut Indian Point and, of course, the two reactors north of New York City, which would irradiate our studio in, about an hour. And he's done all this big show about how he's fighting Indian Point, but, of course, he's failed to shut it, and which he could do overnight. And in the meantime, he is now setting aside gargantuan amounts of money to prolong the operation of ridiculously dangerous old reactors that the owners wanted to shut.
Yeah,
I mean, can you begin to even describe the what's going on here?
But and we're talking about lots of money. $7.6 billion would be the subsidy initially over the first 12 years. Indian Point, there's two nuclear plants, 26 miles north of New York City, the Bronx Line, 35 miles from Times Square. He, as you note, says he wants those closed, and they're not included in this bailout. However, who knows? You know, with Andrew Cuomo, you're dealing with a very complex and often a contradictory kind of character when it comes to many issues, whether it's ethics and government. A while back, he created a commission to look into corruption in government, and then the investigators came a little too close to Andrew Cuomo, and he abruptly eliminated the commission. He's a very contradictory character. But in any case, if Indian Point would be included, we're talking not $7.6 billion, we're talking $10 billion, lots of money, particularly for people who are business people, because they got much bigger electric bills than residential customers. New York ratepayers are going to be paying loads of money for these terrible nuclear plants. And the shame of it is, with that kind of money, there could be support for safe, clean, green, renewable energy. And something that happened really during the same period, this happened 2 weeks ago, this bailout vote of the Public Service Commission, whose members, incidentally, the governor appoints. So like puppets, they took the Andrew Cuomo line. But just 2 weeks ago, a week before, something very serious happened. What was supposed to be approved by a state-created agency, the Long Island Power Authority, and that was to be, maybe it will still be, we'll see, the biggest offshore wind farm in the United States, would be constructed by Deepwater Wind, which has a pilot wind farm going, three turbines. Now it's completing construction of off Block Island, that's Rhode Island. But off eastern Long Island, there would have supposed to be 15, and that was to ultimately go to 200, really providing lots of energy for Long Island. And these wind turbines are out of sight. They're beyond the horizon, way out there. Deep water wind is the name, and it's the reality. Great support for this on Long Island. And the Long Island Power Authority was 2 weeks ago to schedule a vote. There were stories all over the place, including an Associated Press story saying that LIPA, Long Island Power Authority, will be in coming days voting for support for this deep water wind project off Long Island. Well, at the last minute, suddenly, that meeting of LIPA was canceled, the vote was put off, and there's been a lot of questions raised, including newspaper editorials, and I've written on this as well. Was Andrew Cuomo's hand involved here? And in fact, I've been told by somebody with very, very intimate, this is a public official, with very, very close, well, connections to the Cuomo administration, is that he was upset, Andrew Cuomo, because in that Associated Press story, Thomas Falcone, who is the chief executive officer of his public power entity, LIPA, he was quoted in the AP story, and I'm reading it here. I think this is a very big step for New York, but also for the United States, the largest to date offshore wind farm in this country. And the information I got was that Andrew Cuomo felt that Thomas Falcone stole his thunder. So he insisted that the vote be pulled off, be called off. And the ostensible reason was that the New York State Energy Research and Development Agency, whose members are also appointed, the board members by Cuomo, wanted, before LIPA acted, this deep water wind plan off Long Island to be studied in the context of a general state program. But not many people believe that. So here is Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, pushing the bailout for billions of dollars of these decrepit old nukes upstate. And meanwhile, very mysteriously, where New York power should come from, offshore wind. I mean, Long Island is and downstate New York, pretty crowded. You can't put a wind turbine up on, in Times Square, but you can put them offshore. I mean, I happen to be a sailor. The winds off Long Island are just wonderful. The constant wind, it's lovely. A place to sail and a lovely place to put wind turbines in a fairly crowded area, in fact, a very crowded area where you can't put them on land. And deep water wind has plans to then go on after the 200 off Long Island to do 200 off New Jersey, just to the south of New York City, to provide electricity for New Jersey and New York City as well. So, I mean, this is a great breakthrough. It's what Thomas Falcone said. It's historical, but suddenly it was aborted by Andrew Cuomo. While a week later, then he sets up the multi-billion-dollar bailout scheme.
God, that's outrageous. We do have a little bit of good news on the wind front. I can't resist here. Donald Trump, another New York idiot. although I shouldn't blame New York on him. I'm not, but, you know, he just happens to be from there. Was fighting he has this golf course in Scotland, and he's been fighting for years to prevent a wind farm from going in off the coast of his golf course, infuriating the local populace, by the way, who really wants it. And he just lost. My understanding is now that this wind farm across from his golf course is going to go in. So, Donald, enjoy the wind.
Well, it's such an advanced technology in Europe. I mean, that's why this deep water wind project so important for the United States. I mean, the Danes, the Germans, the Brits, and so they've been developing now for years these offshore wind farms, because Europe is also, much of Europe, pretty densely populated offshore. And onshore wind farms are fine, too, but offshore wind farms, you make use of actually better wind when you're dealing with oceans and seas and so forth. Furthermore, you can build bigger turbines. You can see with whether the wind turbine is in Texas or the Dakotas, it has to be fabricated and then trucked to the site. And the truck has to go on highways and around bridges and so forth. But with these offshore wind farms, they're fabricated at facilities that are along the coast, and then they're barged out into the ocean. So they're a good number of times bigger and thus more productive than onshore. They're really a very, very good thing. Trump, he's against wind. He's against solar. Here's a statement from, you called him an idiot. I second the nomination. Here's Trump saying, honestly, solar is not working so good. I know a lot about solar. The payback is, 18 years? I mean, like this guy is an idiot. I'm sitting here, Harvey, on the porch of my salt box house. It's an old house, 100 years old. Salt box means the old English settlers of eastern Long Island did these houses with, roofs with chad facing the sun, more exposure than the roof in the back. Perfect for solar. And we have solar here, and just 10 feet away from me is a meter, actually a Long Island Power Authority meter, which is constantly running backwards. I'm producing more electricity from the sun, than I need. And I'm tied to the grid. It goes back to the grid. You get compensated for that. The payback was 6 years. It was not 18 years. And the solar thermal I have right here above me on my roof, the payback for that was 3 years. So this guy doesn't, like on so many issues, God knows, know what he's talking about. He's an energy horror show as well as a horror show on so many other fronts.
Well, I think he's worried about the wind because it might mess up his hair. But so let's jump back here. We'll come back to Trump and Hillary and I love how the Republicans are trying to get rid of him now. I mean, that'll be exciting. But let's go back to this thing that happened in New York. This is and correct me if I'm wrong, Trump, but in his justification of this insane bailout of the it's Fitzpatrick and Jenna and Nine Mile Point, is that right?
Nine Mile Point 1 and 2. There's two nukes right there at Nine Mile Point.
And they're all losing huge quantities of money, right? Completely inefficient. And by the way, before I lose track of it, I just read from the official websites of the solar and wind industries. There are about 100,000 people in the United States who work in the nuclear power industry. You figure about 1,000 per reactor, and then infrastructure. And we got about 100 reactors. There are 209,000 people in the United States working in the solar industry. Twice as many in solar as in wind, including 75,000 in California alone. And then, according to AWEA, the American Wind Energy Association, there are 88,000 people working in the wind industry in the United States, which is about 8,000 more than there are in coal, according to the official websites that deal with this. There are about 80,000 people still working in the coal industry, which is plummeting. You know, obviously, coal is on its way out very quick. So here we have all these reactors in the United States on the brink of shutdown, and in waltzes the state of New York and says, no, even though you're losing tons of money, even though these reactors are falling apart and dangerous as anything, and even though, we have alternative sources that are cheaper, cleaner, safer, and more reliable, we are going to take billions of dollars to keep these reactors still open. I mean, and the problem is that this now spreads around the country and other countries, and you got this little clown car running around with it, so-called people calling themselves environmentalists who are portraying nukes as clean and green. You know, what drug are they on?
Well, it's number of points there, real important. Just for starters, there was a good piece in the Washington Post. This is just this week, too, talking about these two huge states, New York and California, are both going green, but only one is sticking with nuclear power. And this was published on August 1st, right after the this terrible PSC bailout decision. Meanwhile, Reuters reported, and this is before the vote, that the nuclear industry hopes that if New York succeeds with this subsidization program, it could pressure other states to adopt similar subsidies. We're at a historical point.
It's terrifying, is what it is.
Yeah, well, terrifying, and in terms of jobs, at this historical point, Mark Jacobson, who you're very familiar with, this piece that I wrote about the bailout also ran in the Ecologist magazine, and that's out of the United Kingdom. It's a very I was so happy to have it in the Ecologist because that's been since it was founded by the Goldsmiths and so it's just been a major publication for the environmental community worldwide. So it was published, my piece, by the Ecologist, and the pullout in the Ecologist's piece was a quote from a piece written by a very important figure in energy on the West Coast, Dr. Mark Jacobson, professor of civil and environmental engineering, director of the Atmospheric Energy Program at Stanford, and he writes in this piece, "The closure of the upstate plants, these upstate New York plants, would jeopardize fewer than 2,000 jobs, while a peer-reviewed study he's done," he writes, "about converting New York State to 100% clean, renewable energy, which is entirely possible now," he writes, "would create a net of approximately 82,000 good long-term jobs." So you're talking 82,000 long-term jobs in green energy compared to 2,000 jobs involving nukes. So the whole job thing that Andrew Cuomo is saying, got to protect the jobs upstate, is baloney. But beyond that, in terms of nuclear Pinocchios in New York State and nationally, their claim that nuclear is clean and green, and I mean the basis of that is nuclear plants don't emit greenhouse gases. Well, you know, in operation, a particular reactor doesn't emit carbon gases, greenhouse gases, contributing to global warming. I mean, they all emit lots of radioactivity, and that's allowed, all kind of radioactive poisons. But what's the nuclear industry?
Yeah, they also emit huge quantities of heat. They also have giant quantities of heat directly into the rivers, lakes, and ocean, and into the atmosphere.
Yeah, but also what the nuclear industry and the nuclear Pinocchios within government, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Department of Energy, they don't say, they won't mention, they won't tell us, is that the nuclear chain or nuclear cycle is a huge contributor of greenhouse gases, of carbon gases, a great contributor to global warming. We're talking here about mining, milling, fuel enrichment, fabrication, goes on and on and on. So in terms of nuclear power being not a contributor to climate change, that is baloney. The full nuclear cycle or nuclear chain is a big contributor to global warming. So the big arguing point that the nuclear industry and the nuclear Pinocchios within government have is it's false. It's a phony.
It's really unbelievable. And the amount of wealth that would be created by converting New York State to renewables is just unfathomable. The whole economy would just be just boom. I want to say, by the way, last week, Carl Grossman, I had Charlie Komenoff on the show. And we were talking about the conversion in Germany. And, the industry, and we have to look at the bigger picture here. This whole deal of converting to renewables is not some kind of hippie sideshow.
We're talking about the future, the continued existence of the global utility industry. It's not just nuclear power we're talking about. We're talking about the grid and the whole paradigm of central generated electricity versus distributed generation or community and individual owned. And what happened in Germany, as you all know, Carl, the fourth largest economy in the world, California, by the way, is the sixth. I don't know where New York would be in there, probably in the 20s, early 20s maybe, but as a separate entity. But the fact is that when you're talking about doing what you've done on your house there and turning back the meter, you're talking about killing, thank God, the utility industry. And that's why this whole song and dance about nuclear isn't really about nuclear. It's about preserving the grid and preserving the profits of these giant corporations who are going to be driven out by this revolution in renewables.
Oh, yeah, well, the thing is, the sun sends no bills. The wind blowing over the ocean, you don't get, God doesn't send a bill for that. I mean, this stuff is free. It can be captured. And in terms of technology, there's horrible technologies. There's life-threatening and life-destroying technologies, with, in my view, nuclear power number one on that list, though there is some stiff competition in that regard, toxic chemicals and so forth and so on.
Well, fracking is unbelievably bad. I mean, yeah. I've seen, when you look at the realities of fracking, it's like a technology designed to destroy life on Earth. I mean, just to go in there and crack the subsurface of the planet and to dump in these gargantuan quantities of toxic chemicals and destroy the water table. I mean, you know, it's like some alien being is here trying to just completely poison this all. Fracking is devastating. It's radioactive.
In fact, there's radioactive materials that are released then when the shale is... I've written a lot about this, too. Listeners can go to some of the pieces that I've done about the radioactive component of fracking. And if any listener hasn't seen Gasland 1 and 2, go and order it from Amazon right away. A while back, I was on a panel with Josh Fox, who did those films. I think they're landmarks in investigative reporting. Now, fracking is the good, but nuclear in terms of, well, just if I can mention in terms of what I was saying before, capturing the wind and capturing the sun through modern technology. I mean, there's a lot about technology, as I'm saying, which is hideous, but there are good technologies, and among those are the photovoltaic panels and the thermal panels on my roof and modern wind turbines. In terms of loss of life, I mean, Cuomo saying he's against the Indian Point plants because they're in a densely settled area of New York. Indeed, they are. That's 26 miles north of the Bronx line. I mean, there's 22 million people, 22 million people who live 50 miles from the Indian Point nukes. There's no escape. And those plants, they're all so old and decrepit. In fact, both are running. Their licenses expired a while back. They're running without licenses. They're running beyond 40 years. And nuclear plants were never seen to run beyond 40 years because the concern was the metals in particular could become so embrittled. And 40 years was considered the lifetime. But what's happened in recent years is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which really stands for Nuclear Rubber Stamp Commission, it does what the industry says, has been extending the licenses, the operating licenses of, well, now almost all, it's 80 out of near 100 nukes in this country, to 60 years, and talking about 80 years, I mean, they are out of their mind. They're asking for disaster, and not only are they extending the operating licenses, but they're uprating the plants. In other words, they're having them run hotter and harder, again, just asking for a disaster. And when a disaster occurs, back to Indian Point, Andrew, you know, takes the position, Andrew Cuomo, lots of people downstate, so it's a problem with Indian Point, but upstate, you know, it's not as, well, it's moderately populated. But if listeners want to go to an analysis done at the government's Sandia National Laboratories, this is back in 1982, and it was done for the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And just go online and Google CRAC, C-R-A-C, hyphen two. And I write about it in my article on the bailout, and I've written extensively on this through the years. A very important it was done by people who are nuclear proponents. Sandia National Laboratories, you know, it's a national Department of Energy laboratory. They love nuclear, but they calculated the consequences of a meltdown with breach of containment at every nuclear plant in the United States. And there's a category of early fatalities, early injuries, cancer deaths, and scale costs, which cover lost wages, relocation expenses, decontamination costs, lost property, interdiction costs for property and farmland in $1980. And like just for one of these nukes upstate, Fitzpatrick, they say in the event of a meltdown with breach of containment, as we've seen, talking about Fukushima and Chernobyl, 1,000 early fatalities, 16,000 early injuries, 17,000 cancer deaths, and $103 billion in scale costs, which would be, again, $1980. So it's several times more than that. So you're talking about with nuclear power plants, even though we're still with 5 years into the Fukushima cover-up, we're being told by the International Atomic Energy Agency and others who are apologists for the nuclear establishment that no one has died as a result of Fukushima. One of the biggest cover-ups, I think, and, Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propaganda minister, has to be smiling in his grave as the cover-up on Fukushima just continues and continues. But in any case, we're talking about massive impacts to life and to health, and to look at the areas around Chernobyl or now Fukushima, areas of big patches of this planet rendered uninhabitable in perpetuity. That's what nuclear is all about, and totally unnecessary. I mean, if you got to get on a plane and you want to fly from California to New York, you know, there's a certain risk. Probably today, people saw the video from yesterday of that, I think it was an Emirates airline plane erupting in flames at the airport, and 300 and so people getting off. And flying can be dangerous, but kind of if you're flying halfway around the world or across the United States, you kind of have to take a plane. We don't have to take the nuclear trip. We don't have to go and take this. There's solar, there's wind, there's geothermal, there's tidal, there's wave power. I mean, you go on and on with all the safe, clean, green energy technologies that are here today, and they're only being blocked by, go back to what's happened here in New York or what the Donald tried to do in Scotland.
Let's talk about what they've done here. I mean, they've really opened the Pandora's box, because in Ohio, for example, well, first of all, in 2010 in Ohio, we had a comprehensive plan that was approved by the legislature that had, there were $2 billion worth of wind projects that were privately funded, ready to go, $500 million solar farm planned for southern Ohio, also privately funded and also ready to go. And in stepped the legislature, the Democrats were kicked out, and in came John Kasich and the Koch brother Republicans. They killed the whole project. And so we've had virtually no solar development in Ohio since 2010. And now the industry is begging the Ohio legislature, which is totally corporate controlled. You know, there's a requirement in Ohio law now that in order to get into the Ohio legislature, you have to have a lobotomy. And if you go in and talk to these guys, you know, it's like a night of the living dead in there. So I don't go anymore. But and so they've sat on solar and on wind in Ohio for 6 years. And now they've got this horrendous nuclear plant, Davis-Besse, which is just, it's not an accident waiting to happen. It's an accident in progress.
Yep.
And it's only a matter of time before this thing explodes. And they're begging now, as in New York, for billions of dollars. They did it in Illinois. We beat them in Illinois, but who knows? Maybe they'll come back now. All across the country, this clown car of so-called green pro-nuclears, which is the ultimate oxymoron, are going to say, look what New York did. They're giving billions of dollars. They're calling nuclear plants clean and green. They're protecting the jobs, which were actually, we showed at Diablo Canyon, had a couple of shows on this. PG&E has admitted two important things. Number one, that all the power from a large nuclear plant can be gotten with renewables. And second, that in a situation with a shutdown, you can come up with a plan that will be good for the workers. The two major stumbling blocks here were done away with the Diablo, which is why that was such a big deal. And now, you know, the empire strikes back, this thing from New York is going to, you've got Arizona taxing solar panels and doing everything they can to stop them. You have Nevada, where the government launched an all-out attack on people who had already put solar panels on their house.
Yep.
And tried to make it more expensive if you have solar than if you don't. And this is going on all over the country. And this thing in New York is going to really hurt us, I think, Carl, don't you?
Well, this is a long struggle. And without question, the effort is on, but it's been on for years to suppress these safe, green energy technologies. And we just have to, years ago, the motto was active today or radioactive tomorrow. And with Three Mile Island and with Chernobyl and with Fukushima accidents, which we were told wouldn't happen, couldn't happen. These machines have such redundancy. But now it's admitted they're going to happen fairly regularly. We got to get active. We got to get active today.
Ask you, Carl, is there any way to stop this thing from happening in New York?
Yeah, I've gotten emails from a number of state officials, some very high ones, in fact, one from an extraordinarily high one this morning, outraged, absolutely outraged by this. And what idiot people have done can be undone by smart people, by good people. And I hope in coming months those people will be able to rise with the citizenry. I must say that the Public Service Commission was, it received thousands, literally thousands of communications after it put out this proposal for this clean energy standard, opposing it, criticizing it, didn't listen whatsoever. And in New York State, I think the people are going to have to go through other channels of government. But my experience has been change occurs in energy, as in so many other areas, from the grassroots. That's how we stop. I mean, where I live on Long Island, that was supposed to be a, quote, nuclear park with 7 to 11 nuclear power plants. This goes back to the 1960s and 1970s. Shoreham, which was completed, was to be the first. There would be two more at Shoreham, four at Jamesport, and so forth and so on. But the people of Long Island stopped that crazy scheme to build all these nuclear plants on Long Island, with the assistance of top government officials. Let me note, we're talking about Andrew Cuomo. The first time I met Mario Cuomo, I was the anchor person at WSNL-TV, which is was a TV station on Long Island, and Mario Cuomo was running his first term for governor, and he came to be interviewed by me, and I asked him about nuclear power, and guess why he thought it was great? Jobs. And then after the broadcast, after we did the interview, I sat down with Mr. Cuomo, who knew my work, because for many years I was a reporter doing investigative work at the Long Island Press, and that was based, it circulated all through Long Island, but it was based in Queens, where Mario Cuomo was from, so he knew me. So I sat down with him, and my first book on nuclear, Cover Up, What You're Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear Power, had come out. I bought a copy that day to give him, and I went page to page, because that book, which incidentally you can download for free, any listener, from my website, carlgrossman.com, you get the whole book for free, courtesy of the publisher. In any case, Cuomo then was running for governor, and now we're talking back to grassroots. The anti-nukers on Long Island went to all his appearances on Long Island with signs pushing and criticizing and taking a stand against his pro-nuclear position. And I give Mario Cuomo credit. Didn't take him too long to, whether it was because of the protests or because of his epiphany, maybe I helped a little bit to Fabian Palomino, who he went to law school with, became a big advisor and helped him a lot on the nuclear issue. And Fabian Palomino was very caught up in it, too, because he had a sister on Long Island in Comac with cancer, and he began to connect cancer, which is needs to be connected with nuclear power. So Mario finally became an opponent of nuclear power, and he was critical in stopping the Shoreham plan, creating LIPA, using the state's power of eminent domain to threaten to eliminate this private utility, LILCO, as a corporate entity if it persisted with its nuclear schemes and so forth. But like Andrew, I must say, let me just add to this, that Mario was a very contradictory person. When it finally came to the end and LILCO had given up, the chief executive officer, president of LILCO, William Catacasinos, this was the icing on the cake that needed to be iced. He was given a golden parachute. We're talking about many millions of dollars. And even though he was a big pro-nuker, he had been assistant director at Brookhaven National Laboratory on Long Island, which was set up to back in 1947 by the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission to develop civilian uses of nuclear technology, and worked hand in hand with LILCO in this scheme to make Long Island a nuclear park. In any case, finally at the end, after the New York State Legislature passed the Long Island Power Act, giving the state the power through eminent domain to either seize the, at that time, undervalued stock worth about $1 billion of LILCO or its assets, unfortunately, because, again, we're talking about contradictory characters, complex characters, often not in a positive sense in regard to Cuomo, father and son, Mario Cuomo decided that let's do the assets, which were $5 or $6 billion, rather than do the, which includes a good chunk of the cost of the Shoreham nuke, instead of doing the stock. He felt that Wall Street would become upset if they went and did the stock for $1 billion. But meanwhile, Long Islanders are saddled, and will be for many, many years still, with the $7 billion with interest over the years, the cost of undoing this nuclear scheme. But back to grassroots, I think people have to get involved. There's many organizations listeners could go to. I mean, there is Greenpeace, a great organization. I'm on the board of an organization called Beyond Nuclear, an excellent organization. The Nuclear Information and Resource Service is there, been there for years, fighting, challenging nuclear power. There's many good groups. There's also some very weak, limp national environmental groups who you shouldn't give your time to, your money to. But the ones that I've just suggested, and I can suggest more, and you could suggest more, people have to get involved, because change occurs most of the time from the grassroots.
Carl Grossman, let me ask you, what specific steps can we now take to reverse this, you know, attempted bailout?
Well, I think here probably the best route, because of Andrew Cuomo's insistence, would be through the New York State Legislature. And I think that there is, well, that's where pressure has to be brought. And it can be brought. Back to the Long Island model. On Long Island, it wasn't just the eminent domain argument which stopped this nuclear scheme, Shoreham, and all these other nuclear plants. It was grassroots action in the face of, for example, the Suffolk County Legislature in the early 1970s, in fact, middle 1970s and late 1970s, was totally pro-nuclear. Everybody on it was pro-nuclear except for, I think, one legislator. The Three Mile Island disaster really motivated, it really got to the consciousness of a lot of people here, as it did elsewhere, made them aware of the catastrophic impacts of nuclear power that can happen and would happen. And they went to work around 79, right after the accident, getting rid of all those pro-nukers on the Suffolk County Legislature. I mean, I saw with my very own eyes, during meetings of the Suffolk County Legislature, members of the legislature going to a back room of the legislative meeting hall, meeting with local representatives and given marching orders. But in any case, after the People's Action Coalition and the Shoreham Opponents Coalition and all these grassroots organizations that sprung up and fought hard got to work, there was only one legislator among 18 who was still a pro-nuker, a guy named Lou Howard, who died several months ago. And that changed everything in terms of Long Island. The same kind of thing has to happen, I think, on a statewide basis now. You got to get the legislators who have some brains and understand the dangers of nuclear power to rebel against this Cuomo edict. And for those who are the pro-nukers who are looking for the money that they're given by Entergy and others in the nuclear industry, get rid of them. Get rid of them like we did in Suffolk County. The fight against Shoreham and the other nukes, to me, is a kind of a model of how you can beat, the old notion you can't beat City Hall. I think that was created by City Hall.
City Hall.
Can beat City Hall. And, again, get to work, push, and we can turn this around, but it's going to take a lot of work.
Let's get specific here. First of all, Carl, you'll be glad to know my daughter is having her first child in early September, and so she lives in Teaneck, I'll be there, and we need to have a meeting to really get people together with a very specific strategy to beat this. I mean, I have no doubt we can beat it, but this is going to be a tough one, and this is the turning point here. This is their last gasp. If the industry fails, if we stop the industry from getting these bailouts, then the nukes are just going to have an avalanche of shutdowns. But if they get this, you know, they're going to continue to operate these reactors, and they're going to explode like Chernobyl and Fukushima, and we're going to have an apocalypse on our hands. I mean, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything on this planet even remotely as dangerous as the old reactors that are continuing to operate. I mean, it is absolutely insane. So what groups and specifics can we do? I know it's a little early, Carl, but I know you're a great strategist, and we're going to have to get together with Riverkeeper and the Indian IPSEC and all the other Clearwater, all the other great organizations, and focus on this, or we're in big trouble, because if they get away with this kind of bailout, on these kind of reactors, it's going to spread all over the country. And so we got to stop this now in New York. Frankly, we have very strong grassroots organizations, long history, great seasoned activists in New York. We just got to figure out where is the off switch and how do we flip it before it's too late.
Well, again, back to the Shoreham fight, the successful fight against Shoreham. In fact, not only Shoreham, but there was two reactors at Brookhaven Lab, also because of grassroots action shut down. Long Island is nuclear-free, no nuclear power plants, no nuclear reactors, absolutely wonderful. I think what was done, however, was not just eminent domain. It was political action, we were just mentioning before. It was litigation. Some people said litigation is not... Irving Like, a wonderful lawyer here, still around on Long Island. He's author of the New York State Conservation Bill of Rights. He was in the forefront with Tom Toomey of the legal action. There were people weren't paying their LILCO bills. There was huge demonstrations, protests. One demonstration at Shoreham, 600 people were arrested one day. They went over the fence. Demonstration after demonstration. And also importantly, even though the Shad Alliance, for example, didn't think litigation was so smart, and some of the people in lobbying and political organizing didn't think that protests made a, I mean, everybody had different strategies, but it was a big tent. Everybody got together and accepted everybody else's strategy. So I think that has to happen now in New York State and nationally. And talking nationally, I think it's an absolute priority that Trump be defeated, absolutely defeated. This guy, I mean, I was talking about the idiot things he said about solar power, didn't know anything about solar power. But this guy, just Google Trump on nuclear power. The stuff that he has said, absolutely hideous. We need the energy from nuclear power. Nuclear power is safe, and so forth and so on. I mean, if Trump is elected...
Well, Carl, where can people go now? There's a nearsnirs.org. I know that Jensen has done a lot of work on the upstate reactors. There's Beyond Nuclear. You're on the board.org.
Yes.
There's IPSEC, Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition, Riverkeeper, you know,
Friends of the Earth,
Dad Alliance. So people have got to, you know, all you New Yorkers listening in, people have got to sign up now. This is never, this is the most dangerous position we've been in for a long time. This is the Empire Strikes Back.
This
industry.
They wouldn't just take our lives, but what they want to do is to take our money as well to continue the operation of these death machines.
Yes, absolutely.
We have Carl to stand up to it.
And people can reach you, Carl, at carlgrossman.com, right?
My website is www.carlgrossman.com. And if anybody wants to send me an email, please do. You know, what's my email address?
Nobody remembers, or your phone number. If it's really your phone number. Well, when you think of it, let us know. Look for your article at Huffington Post, which is very important, and also nukefree.org. I've got a link there. Let's get to, real quick, I've just got a few minutes left, to the Donald, you being a New Yorker. Of course, Hillary is also a New Yorker. At least Jill Stein is from Boston. You get a little differential there. Do you really think that Trump is worse than Hillary on nukes?
Yes. I Hillary, talking about contradictory, 2008, she was against nuclear, which she said she was an agnostic. These days, she's saying, well, maybe advanced nuclear is okay. However, I just mentioned an attorney who was in the lead here on Long Island in fighting nuclear, Tom Toomey, and he died about 2 years ago now. And guess who spoke at this very important anti-nuclear leader's memorial service? Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. And Hillary... spoke very forcefully about Tom's life and how it was committed to, the central thing was fighting nuclear power. And Tom's wife, incidentally, Judith Hope, who was chairwoman of the New York State Democratic Committee, she was the one, when she was the chair of the New York State Democratic Committee, who got Hillary to consider and then do a run for the U.S. Senate, and that's how she became senator from New York. Furthermore, Judith Hope, before she was married to Tom, was a major anti-nuclear figure on Long Island. In 73, she became the first woman town supervisor elected on Long Island. So,
we got 2 minutes here, Carl.
Yeah,
know that Trump has zero comprehension of renewables. In fact, he hates them. And he just thankfully lost his fight against the wind farm in Scotland. We would assume that Hillary will support renewables. The question is, being from upstate New York, is anybody going to help us in the DNC to get Andrew Cuomo off this
insane bent of bailing out these reactors. This is really a huge turnaround. Very, very disturbing. Anybody out there, any connection to Andrew Cuomo, any kind of place you can write him, write the New York legislature, this is something we really got to turn around. I'll have an article at EcoWatch in the next day or two about this. And Carl, yours is at Huffington Post. So thank you so much, Carl, for being with us. Carl Grossman, you're always a great, great guest. Enjoy your Polpock torch there with your solar panels and your sailboat. And we'll have you back to talk about further actions we can take to shut nuclear power.
Right. And anybody can get in touch with me through my website. There's an ability there to send a message. And just one thing, if I could, we've been talking about nuclear power.
Quickly.
Trump is also, I'm just looking here at an article, very interested in nuclear weapons, too. We have them, as he says in an interview, why can't we use them? I mean, this man has to, it's online, the headline, Donald Trump, very interested in using nuclear weapons.
Yeah, next year we'll talk about finding somebody to attack. Carl, thank you so much. Thank you, crew in New York. Let's get any point shut. See you next week.
Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.